Previously in Aphonicus by Alice Dale, making good progress with Craig's speech therapy, Pamela encouraged him to sing a song. But when other patients arrived and applauded his efforts, he was totally mortified and furious and fled the scene. Next day, he blamed Pamela for causing him such embarrassment. She retorted that it was selfish to deny other wounded patients the pleasure of his voice.
Philippa had been delighted to receive Pamela's letter, telling her about her interest in speech therapy and how Craig had agreed to be treated by her. But she was downhearted and more than a little angry when she read today's letter, relating his reaction to the attention he got from the unwanted audience of other wounded servicemen. She sent an immediate reply, agreeing with Pam's method of dealing with it. "Without that girl, I'd have no idea what's happening to Craig," she told David when he called one Saturday morning to help her with some of the intricacies of preparing probate on Stan's will. They were now relaxed in each other's company, even more so out of school for the first time in Philippa's kitchen, with both in their weekend clothes. Philippa was used to seeing David in a dark three-piece suit. To have him sitting opposite her at the kitchen table wearing cords, an open-neck shirt and V-necked sweater, made her feel even more comfortable. She couldn't help imagining him sitting there every day at breakfast and over dinner in the evenings, exchanging news and each other's ideas. She didn't realise that he had similar feelings about her. It was just as different for him to see her in slacks, forbidden to female teachers when at school, instead of her usual dresses or skirts. She was wearing one of her soft wool sweaters, this time in blue, totally unaware of how attractively it emphasised the shape of her upper body. "She's been wonderful with him," she continued. "And then he blames her for some lonely servicemen expressing their appreciation of his singing. I'm ashamed of him."
"Oh, you mustn't be. I mean, who can blame him? It's just another sign of his loss of self-confidence, which must be massive."
"Right enough. He's always been a shy boy, unlike his big sister. Irene's got all the confidence in the world. Not in a pushy way. She's just comfortable in her skin. Funnily enough, she's married quite a shy boy. I think there's a lot of truth in the saying that a girl marries either her father or her brother. She's chosen someone like her brother, smaller than him and not quite as handsome, not that I'm biased, but a bit shy like Craig. Maybe that allows her to be the boss." She shook her head and smiled.
"So, who do you think you married?"
David asked, leaning a little towards her. "I never thought about it for myself. If I did, not having a brother in the picture, I suppose I'd have to say that Stan was a bit like my father. Totally honest, a bit strict with the children, like Dad was with me, his only child. He also saw things in black and white, with himself as much as with others. Father was very proud of being a typesetter on a prestigious paper like the Glasgow Herald, and he was used to doing everything to perfection, and expected the same from everyone else. Yes, Stan was quite like that. I don't think either of them ever told a lie in their life, not even a wee white one. Unlike me. She grinned and gave a little giggle. Did I tell you what I did to get on the train to London last August? David was delighted to hear anything about her personal life. He felt it strengthened the friendship, which seemed to be progressing nicely.
No, you didn't,
he offered.
Tell me about it, unless it's going to get you the sack.
They both laughed. Then she proceeded to relate the story about the use she'd made of the soldier, Steve, a complete stranger. He hung on her every word and facial expression. At the end of her tale, he tapped her hand playfully, saying,
Naughty, naughty Pippa.
What made you call me that? My mother was the only one who ever called me Pippa when I was little.
You're still little,
he teased, aware of why she always wore such high heels. With a big grin, she delivered a playful whack on his arm. The contact delighted him. It was the happiest he had seen her since her husband's death.
Hey, that hurt,
he said playfully. It was meant to, she retorted. It was the closest to intimacy they had had. And if she had been on the other side of the kitchen table, he'd have hugged her. What's more, he had a feeling she might have let him. Pippa was suddenly aware of the change happening in their relationship, and she became embarrassed. Well, that's enough of that, she said, in her best schoolteacher voice. We've a lot to get through here, indicating the documents on the table. And by the way, I'm very grateful for your help, David, but we'd better get on with it.
On one condition.
What do you mean?
That you'll come with me to see the Maltese Falcon tonight. It's on at the Ascot, you know, that new cinema on Great Western Road. I've heard they've strengthened the roof in case of bombing, so we should be safe if there's an air raid.
Uh-huh. But will I be safe with you? She joked.
On a Saturday night? Well, of course not.
He said in the same jocular fashion. Their awkward laughter spiralled down into a slightly more awkward silence. Pippa was the first to speak. To be serious for a moment, can I ask you a personal question? Then added very quickly, not that it's any of my business, and I'll understand if you don't want to answer. It's just that there's such gossips in the staff room, and I never know what to believe. He leant back in his chair, fingers clasped behind his head, and fixed his eyes on her.
I think I see where this is going. You want to know about my wife?
A statement, not a question. Lowering her head, she answered, I suppose so. It's got nothing to do with our friendship. I just wondered...
If I'm the kind of married man who likes a bit on the side.
He finished her sentence for her. Oh, no, David, that's not what I meant at all.
But it's what you've heard the gossip saying.
Not in so many words. But I heard one of them saying you used to wear a wedding ring, and then it disappeared. And you never talk about your wife or bring her to any school functions. I suppose that's what fuels the gossip. She jumped up and wandered awkwardly around the kitchen, then turned to him with folded arms. Oh, I'm sorry, David. Forget I ever asked you that. I sound as bad as them. After all, what's it got to do with me? Totally embarrassed, she moved away again. Rising slowly from his chair, he stopped her wanderings by standing in her way.
It has everything to do with you. You're an intelligent woman. You must know by now how how I feel about you.
Oh, no, I wasn't aware.
Come on, Pippa, let's not pretend anymore. You feel something for me, I can tell. I also understand why you don't want this to go any further if I'm a married man.
Her lips moved, but nothing came out, because that was exactly what she had been thinking. He took her hands in a soft grip.
You have every right to know the answer to your question. Can we sit down and I'll explain everything?
Their eyes locked in silence, till Pippa slowly removed her hands. But before he could start his explanation, so vital to their relationship, suddenly, brightly, she said, "I think we should have a cup of tea." The tension broken, they both gave each other a tight-lipped smile as she made for the kettle. He sank back down at the table with a little shake of his head as he thought,
"Tea? I don't believe it."
Thank you.